Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being close to you, the privilege of knowing you. We ask that no person will leave you the same way, will leave you a distance from you. Pull us closer to you. And thank you, Lord, for hearing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. A place to sit in. Thank you, Master. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I welcome everyone here this evening into this auspicious service. I sense a climate of serious revival, especially as we see people aggressively on evangelism, young ladies, young men, winning souls restlessly. And that climate shall continue throughout the year in the name of Jesus. I saw a revelation this afternoon where somebody came to tell me about a revelation. He said, I saw people standing and directing people, a traffic of people to church. And I looked very well and I thought they were normal security men, but these were angels. They were just trafficking and directing and directing and directing. Do you understand that somebody came to tell me a revelation? In a revelation. Hallelujah. So the traffic is coming. The traffic is coming. The traffic is coming. The traffic is coming. And I believe that God will help us both to receive the traffic and to manage them well and to coordinate them. It will not be our hands we will use to drive the traffic away. On yesterday, that was Monday, we wanted to have a meeting with the squad of 1,000 souls per person. I don't know whether the publicity or the notice didn't go out as it should. We got a turnout of people, but not on what we had on our schedule. We had over 1,000 names that came out pledging to go out for 1,000 souls. And so we decided we're going to redo the call on Sunday so that people can actually, maybe some didn't hear it well. And we are doing that so that we can know who we are working with, because we need accountability so that we can have stability. If you answered the call before and you really meant it, when we call again on Sunday, you step forward. We are going to give people identification tags and then have a very strict monitoring system for the souls won and the souls established, so that by the end of the year, everybody can account for every single soul physically that came. So just to let you know, we are going to do that. And that is to ensure, to let us know how serious the matter is this year and how serious. Somebody else was telling Dr. Miss Enenche how that she, a mother with her daughter, saw that the church was so overwhelmed that people were coming with their benches and their own chairs and their own mats to keep, you know, within the premises, that in fact the aisles were blocked and the ushers couldn't tell anybody to remove it because they don't know where to tell the people to go. Right? And I believe that all these are pointing again to what God is up to. And we are going to prove to God that we are ready for the harvest that is coming. Praise the Lord. As we round off on this last midweek service for the month of January, our month of dedication, and dedication basically unto soul winning, we are looking at the subject power for soul winning. Power for soul winning. Power for soul winning. And the objective of this subject is to understanding the powers to contend with at the place of soul winning. First of all, understand the powers that we are contending with at the place of soul winning. And second, we will understand the power at our disposal for soul winning.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to verse 4, the Bible said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. There are people that are under bondage. It's important to note that every time we go to win souls, we are contending with certain forces. There are powers. It's not the soul winning is not the same as marketing a housing estate or marketing a product. For the sake of the powers we are contending with, we need to know the powers at our disposal. What powers are we contending with? Number one, the spirit of this age, the force of the spirit of this age. We just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. There is a general spirit of this age, and that spirit of this age has intensified its activity in our own generation. It is an anti-God spirit. It's an anti-Christian spirit. If you go to some of the European countries today, people have literally moved from being anti-God to being counter-God. Not only do they not want Christianity, they now hate God and want to fight against the cause of God. The spirit of this age, the spirit of atheism, secular humanism, all those forces, we are fighting it. The spirit even of apostasy, people falling away from the faith, back to the world, by the power of the God of each age, we are dealing with those forces. Secondly, we have the spell of ancestral or generational curses. The spell of ancestral or generational curses. Can just include family, ancestral, or generational curses. The spell of family, ancestral, or generational curses. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So there are curses and there are spells. I once spoke with a young man. I've never seen such a terrible situation before. His father was a deep occultist. His mother was also equally deep in another realm of the occult. So this young man doesn't understand the existence of God. He's already grown. The existence of God is a mystery to him. How? God, like how? Another time I was praying for a young man, and I saw a snake. The man is already a pastor. Was already struggling to be a pastor. He came from the east. So I said, what is the snake that I see? He said, that is the snake that they worship in his father's house. And that his father was a chief. And the snake has a house. And the snake came out of his house every morning to come and bow for the father. Bend like this and return back. I think they serve the snake kola nut or something. Do you understand that? And that he is the only, nobody is a Christian in his family. Nobody can be. Not to talk of being a pastor. So they were resisting his life, resisting him with all manner of resistance. Now, those are forces that fight people from even being Christians at all. These are forces you contend with. It's not written on anybody's face. But as we come across people, you see. And then you encounter some. Some are interested in going to church or serving God. But that force says you can't go anywhere. Your forefather did this. Your forefather did that. Hallelujah. So these are forces. Number four, three will be the force of personal evil covenants and agreements. Where people gave themselves over to the devil in agreements. Maybe when going through school, joined campus cult. Galatians 3:13 and 14 can also apply here. Personal evil covenants and agreement. They brought somebody to me from Lokoja the other day. That this person went online and was trying to search some things and trying to get into certain groups of people, and then certain encounters from the internet ran the person mad. Yes, encounter from the internet, it ran them mad. What happened? He said they were introducing some things and how to make money or how to do this and that, and he followed them and whatever they said they should do, jam, bam, ran mad. Yes. One followed another link and started seeing demons and hearing their voice. So this kind of things contend with people. I remember when we were in the university, Dr. Miss Anencha brought somebody to me. She was not Dr. Miss Anencha yet. She was Sister Becky. Sister Becky. Sister Becky. Sister Becky brought somebody. She was very tinquetic like this. Tiny. Brought somebody to me. He said, please, come and help me. Help me. There is a challenge here. I said, what it is? He said, I was trying to pray to somebody. But I don't understand. The person said he has killed person before. He said, the person said he has killed before. And they kill normally. I said, okay, bring him to me. So he brought the young man. And then the young man truly is in the cult. Campus cult. They are killing cult and rapist, all manner of evil things. So I led him to Christ, laid hands on him, and he got changed and transformed. So after a short while, the cult began to threaten him. Who told you can leave? Who told you? They are going to kill him. They are going to waste him. They are going to so waste him that nobody will know where he is. So he was trepidatious. I kept encouraging him and kept on, you know, they can't do you nothing. No hair will drop from your head. I was in sixth year then in the university. Fifth or sixth year. And then when I graduated, I lost touch with him. So one day, we went to Benue State in Makurdi. This was like 2 years into our ministry. Went to Benue State. And at the filling station, around the high level roundabout there, the filling station. Then I saw the young man. Saw me. He ran to me. Was it High Center or Vincent? What's his name? And he ran to me. I said, oh, wow, how are you? I'm so happy to see you. How are you doing? He said, he's doing fine. How about the faith? It's bouncing well in the Lord. Wow, I'm excited. So what happened about that threat? Oh, no, the threat could not hold because he was planted in a church. And then after we had left, he told the pastor of the church what had happened. So the pastor gave him an army officer in a member of the church, and he said that this man should follow you to meet the head. So the man followed him and met the head of the cult and brought out his service pistol. He said, if one hair drop from this boy, I will shoot you personally. How many of you know that we need such people in the church? And we need such people, all manner. We need Peter type of people who will just keep his knife back. He said, it is me that will shoot you personally. So that made the head of the cult to become this man's security. Because if any other person killed him, hallelujah. So you see, we have a lot, and I was so happy to hear this. I was so excited and thrilled because that is the kind of thing I like. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the devil comes physically, you meet him physically. If he comes spiritually, you meet him spiritually. Any realm he comes, meet him. Hallelujah. So we have people like that who entered into some things, and the things they entered into is pulling them back from the faith. And we need to know what to do to contend with those powers. So that is the force of personal evil covenants and agreements. And then we have number four, the fourth force that people deal with is the force of sinful bondage and negative habits. Sinful bondage. The man is so bound. He's bound by alcoholism, bound by tobacco. One of the hardest devils we have dealt with is prostitution. Dr. Misanencha, you remember? That is so, is such, we, it's like a praying mantis that you that will never forget his bent hand. They are bringing some and they are changed. We have a couple of them that we took them to rehabilitation and all manner of things. Some fell back, but we thank God because some are fully grounded. In fact, one married a pastor. Okay, they have three children or so right now. What? Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. You know, so when these kind of habits are developed, Indian hemp, and then also drug addiction, crack addiction and all that, these are some of the things that are a bit hard to crack, but God cracks all of them. God cracks all of them. God cracks all of them. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27, saying that day the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So you have this thing that we confront and we need to break. Not that the people are unwilling, but these forces are fighting them, and we have to trust God to tackle these forces. That is the force of sinful bondage and negative habits. And then number five, we have the force of wrong company and association. When people are, also the cultism and all of that force into this, where people are tied to wrong friends, tied to wrong relationships. We live in days where people enter into all manner of covenants. Covenant, hand covenant, you cut the hand, and so on, especially in the cult. We have such things. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20, the Bible said that he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 33, he said evil communication corrupts good manners. And so we have such things, and these are things that need to be broken. You get some people saved, after a week or two, they say their friends came back. The friends convict them, return them back to the nightclub, or return them back to the beer parlor, or return them back to this or that. These are forces we contend with, and we need to know and trust the Lord to deal with those forces. That was number five. Number six is the distractions of affliction and then life challenges. The distraction of affliction as well as life's challenges, or the challenges of life. Where somebody is so, house rent is this one is that. I mean, diverse and plenteous distraction. Right? And the Bible said, we shall serve the Lord our God with all our heart. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, 30, 31. We shall serve the Lord. Jesus answered, the first of all commandment is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so all the mind couldn't serve the Lord because the mind is filled with distractions. So much pain, so much debt is indebted. People are calling him every night. He can't even think of sitting or concentrating in church. So much affliction, oppression. He's thinking of many alternatives. He's not sure what alternative will help him. And then want to come to this kind of people with the gospel. So we have plenty of them like that. Not that I don't want to come to church. I don't even have transport money. I couldn't even sleep overnight. Terrible affliction, terrible pain. Here, we need to deploy the power of God to get these people changed. The destruction of affliction as well as the challenges of life. And then number seven is the spell and climate of depression. That is generational depression. The smell and climate of depression. Gloominess in the air. Darkness cover the earth. Gross darkness the people. Isaiah chapter 61. 60 verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The gloominess of the earth. You see, even amongst us, certain people in the church, so much gloom, so much depression. And you see, it is widespread in society. You know, people hardly have friends or just loners walking alone. And that climate needs to be broken by the power of God. These are some of the powers we contend with. There are many more. But basically, from the experiences that we have had, you are going to confront these kind of powers. And once you have this, what do we do? What power is at our disposal that we can work with or fight with to contend? Number one is the power of prayer. Is the power of prayer. There's nothing that the power of prayer, that prayer cannot handle. Is the power of prayer. Isaiah chapter 66 and in verse 8, he said, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The travail of Zion, praying with intensity, can bring forth spiritual children. In Matthew chapter 12 verse 29, he said we can bind the strong man, whatever strong man that strong man is. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Whether it's a strong man of ancestral powers, or the strong man of occult covenants, or the strong man of addiction, or any form of sinful bondage, we can break the strong man at the power of prayer. Now, this is a prayer you prayed before you went out on evangelism, and these are prayers you prayed with a particular victim of certain of the things. We are talking about Mark chapter 3, verse 27, also talked about dealing with the strong man. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The power of prayer. Number two is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit and being led of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this power is power to preach the gospel with potency. Power to preach the gospel with effect. With potency, with effect. Power to preach the gospel with effect and potency. It is also power to speak with boldness. In Acts chapter 4 verse 31, when they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Is the power to speak the word with boldness. That was why when Dr. Mr. Lencher said, I met him, a man who said, he has killed person before. I said, bring him to me. And he brought him. I mean, there was no shaking at all, because I knew that whatever devil was inside him, I was far superior to that devil. I hear what I'm saying here today. The power to speak the word with boldness. Also, it is a power to be guided by the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 14, the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You are guided and led by the Lord to the right person at the right time, to the person that is in need of the answer you have at that time. That power to be guided. And of course, finally, it is a power. So it is a power to preach the word with effect, or with effect, the power to speak with boldness, the power to be guided and led by the Lord. And fourthly, it is the power of conviction. Conviction. John chapter 16 verse 8. It says that the Holy Ghost will convict people of sin. Right. John chapter 16 and in verse 8. And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So this is the power of the Holy Ghost. We have that power at our disposal. The power of prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody getting anything here at all? Is this word
Does this word mean anything to anybody? All right, number three is the power of love. The whole world is love starved. We have a generation that is starved of love. Starved. The other day, a woman came with her two children, her house girl, her driver, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, and then her nephew, university level boy. And you know how the young men of this generation are. At times they find it hard to greet elders. Have you encountered some of them before? Good morning. Finally, in those days, when we grew up, when an elder comes into a place, you stand up, right? You stand up and remain standing until they see that. Even the Bible said it. It said that we should, thou shalt arise for the hoary hair. That is law of Moses. Right? But then just listen. You are trying to be, so how are you, boy? Fine. Right? Normal circumstance, you would feel like, all right? If you don't know how to behave, I will leave you alone. But on the second thought, I said, this is a soul that needs to be saved. So I put my hand around his back. I said, God bless you. So what are you doing now? He said, he's just got admission to university to study. What course? All right, sit near me here. He sat near me. I made him friends and then brought out the gospel. Gave him the story of my life. How 39 years ago, I rededicated my life to God and how my life was before that date. His eyes opened. Before long, he opened up and began to ask questions. So if I have friends that are not good and not bad, what do I do with them? They are not doing bad things, but not that they are good people. Not that they are Christians. But the truth is, we just began to talk. Instead of reacting to that attitude, I released love. And love won. I led him to Christ on the spot. And then we pass him to. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we live in it. And some people react like that because they have never known love. Because what you haven't received, you can't give. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is the power of love. The Bible said in Songs of Solomon chapter 8 and in verse 6, it said, love is as strong as death. Say, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Love has the capacity to even defeat death. So there is nothing love can finish. If you deploy love to love-starved people, they bow. In Luke chapter 10, verse 33, it was that power of love that the good Samaritan used to rescue that man that fell among thieves. While the others passed, he deployed the power of love, and love won. The same way that love will always win. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, he said, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you are going to have friends, be friendly. Be friendly with the people you want to reach for God. Be friendly. Don't be hostile. Many of us have been hostile in our neighborhood, so the people don't want to hear anything from us. We have not been friendly. We have not been relational. We've just been official and then condemnative. Very condemning and condescending to people. So they don't want to have anything to do with us. But a man that will have friends, and people must receive your person before they receive your message. It's very, very important. They must like your person before they like what you're saying. So the power of love is a power that will help us to break across the limitations, even if it is the force of hell, the power of love. Number four is the power of joy. The power of joy. The power of joy. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. He said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. A merry heart doeth good.
Now, most of the problems we talked about need solution. They need medication. Merriment is a medication. Again, like we said, we live in a gloomy, dark world. People don't know that joy exists. And when you arrive, some of us, God gives us the capacity to electrify every place we come. Every place. Whether it is at the airport, whether it is at the shopping mall, or whether it is in the market, or on a crusade ground, you just electrify. One pastor told me, he said, it looks like you carry a tonic. Everywhere you step in, something just, as if they spread something in the air. Can you tell me the secret of it? You see, the world is in need of such. It's in need of that tonic that will just dismantle their gloominess, give them hope that all is not lost. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you want the kingdom of God to appear to people, carry righteousness, carry peace, carry joy in the Holy Ghost. When you have joy in the Holy Ghost, people will see the impact of the kingdom from your life. And even if you will not be joyous or joyful for your sake, be joyful for the sake of your generation. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 and in verse 5. Proverbs 13 and in verse 5. Sorry, 15 verse 13. 15 verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So when you are merry, your countenance is already cheerful before you meet people. But by the sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. And then verse 15 said, all the days of the afflicted are evil. The depressed, his days are evil. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Everything is working. Your preaching is working. Your witnessing is working. If you are of a merry heart. So the power of joy. I'm sure you read Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12 before. It's a scripture that I enjoy many years ago and I still enjoy. It says, for you shall be led out with joy. And be led, you shall go out with joy. In case you are going for evangelism, go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Then the mountains and the hills shall scatter. Joy and peace are a dynamite and detonator to blow up every mountain. Mountain of hostility, mountain of animosity, mountain of I don't care for what you have to say. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Hallelujah! Can somebody release some joy? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can somebody release a little more joy? Hallelujah! Shout the Lord is hallelujah! Amen. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Somebody give the Lord a big clap of hand. Hallelujah. I'd like you to try this. Try the power of joy and it will break walls in front of you. Number 5 is the power of upright living. The power of character, upright living. Especially witnessing in the neighborhood where you are and among those who know you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, he said, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. Conversation means manner of life in charity, in spirit, and in faith, in purity. Let no man despise your youth. Semicolon. Meaning that if you will be an example of the believers, if you will be an example of believers in how you speak, how you live, how you love, in your spirit or your attitude, in faith, what you believe, your conviction, in purity, if you will be an example, nobody will despise your youth. No, they can't despise your age. They can't despise you. They can't despise what you are saying. Nobody will be able to say, what is this one saying? They can't. The power of upright living or the power of character. In the book of, we read that already, Romans chapter 14 verse 17. Righteousness, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And of course, we have Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men.
your character, your excellence. Let it explode before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let them see your good works, let them see your life, and be able to praise God and be open to God, the power of upright living. Number six is the power of testimonies. The power of testimony. The power of testimony. Almost every human being you draw their attention with a story. There are two things that have a great impact on people: pictures and stories. A picture can say 1,000 words. A picture can be worth more than 1,000 words. In the same manner, a story. Jesus was full of stories. The kingdom of God is like unto this person. The kingdom of God is like so and so. One day, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He kept on telling the stories and passing across the message in the middle of the stories. That was what the woman of Samaria did. Come see a man that told me everything I did. Shouldn't this be the Messiah? John chapter 4 verse 29. And the whole of the city came out. Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Hallelujah. I told the man the story. I told him how that I had been born religious, went to Methodist Sunday school and all of that, but I didn't have a personal relationship with God. Even though around the age of 11, I had come to the Lord, but like young men, you know, influence of young people just slid back again, a little bit slid back. But in the year of 1986, I was telling this young man, the one I just talked about now, I was telling him my story. So in the year of 1986, I suddenly became afraid. I don't know what was making me afraid. I began to think of death. And I was just a young man under 20. And I just started thinking of death. For one full week, I was under a grip of it. Just afraid. The fear continued until the night of 12th of May, 1986. 2 a.m. in the night. I was awoken. In that high institution campus, there was no light. Then there was the hooting of an owl. In the thick of the night, for a man that has been afraid for 1 week, no light, dead of the night. It was in the middle of that I heard a voice inside me. If you die now, where will you go? Wow. I could not answer because I didn't know. I know I won't go to heaven, but I can't say I'm going to hell. I can't admit I'm going to hell. So I kept quiet. Then the voice came again and said, "What is preventing you from giving your life to me? What is preventing you from giving your life to Christ?" And I looked, and I couldn't see what was preventing me. This lasted for about 2 hours. Yes, till about 4 a.m. So he pointed somebody to me. Somebody I know. Christian man, doing well. He had money. Young man, but was doing very well. Had his car, fresh. In every way, he was better than me. He said, "Look at that man. What is he losing by serving me?" I looked and I said, "Nothing. He's doing very well. So what is preventing you from giving your life to me?" Wow. Nothing anymore. My defenses were all gone. I don't used to tell lies. I don't used to steal. I don't used to do some of these things, but there are other temptations. How do I overcome temptations? And he gave me what I would call a template. Say, all I need from you is to hand over your life to me. I will supply you the ability to overcome. I didn't know it was that simple. Really? So all I'll say is, Lord, I hand over my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I want to do the right thing. Then he said he will help me to do the right thing. Wow. So when I did that, peace flooded my heart. The thought of death died. Fear died. Everything died. I woke up in the morning. It was a Wednesday. As if the sun was shining different. Wow. As if I was walking on heels. On the spot, there were dresses I could not wear anymore. As a man, I wanted to look like a godly person. So I couldn't wear some type of jeans we were wearing in those days. I saw my friends that we did childish things. And when they came and they wanted to give me, I said, I've given my life to God. They said, what? What are you talking about? See, I'm now born again. You? Born? How? Why? Yes, they said so. Why? What happened? This manner of things. Some said, maybe they gave me 6 weeks. As I'm talking, I have one witness here now to what I'm saying. Who was in that vicinity 39 years ago? What happened? Some said, we'll give him 6 weeks, he will join us. Some said, maybe there is something he's finding in the fellowship. Some said, it's the fear of exam. Because exam was coming. So when the exam passed, he'll join us. One of them said, I give you 6 weeks. That 6 weeks has not come. Will never come. That 6 weeks is almost 40 years now. And waxing stronger. There was nobody in that cycle at that time that I can say, this one is in front and I'm envying him. Not one. Some are no more alive. All I did was tell this young boy this story. Can you see how simple it is? Once I told him this story, his heart broke. I said, I want to pray for you so you can be like this. And led him to Christ. I think I'll tell this story more often in some places. You know the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship? The basis of their ministry is just testimonies. They will call up 1, 2, 3, 4 people who will tell you how their life was before they met Jesus, and now that they have met Jesus, what difference he has made, and give an altar call. Then the preacher for the day will preach and give an altar call. And then people give their lives to Christ. Beloved brothers and sisters, the power of the testimony, it breaks all barriers. The Holy Ghost flows on it to bring conviction. We also saw in Acts chapter 9 verse 33. Acts chapter 9 verse 33. There he found a certain man. That was Peter now. A certain man named Aeneas, which has kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Lydda and Saron, two cities turned to God by one man's testimony. If you can't preach raw and straight, tell a story about your own life, about somebody else's life, about my own story that I just said, Tell a story. And then flow through that story and let somebody be saved. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Finally, it is the power of the gospel. That is the gospel itself. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. It said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek. So, the gospel is powerful. Paul the Apostle talked about the power of the gospel. And he mentioned in Romans chapter 15 verse 19. He talked about how from Illyricum, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? All human beings, God made man in his image. Man fell into sin by the deception of the devil. By falling into sin, all human beings are doomed for eternity in hellfire. God has sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of the world. It looks foolish. But Paul the Apostle says he's winning the lost by the foolishness of the gospel. He sent his son to die for the sins of the world. He took our place in death. So we don't need to go to hell anymore. All that is required of us today is to come to Jesus. Receive him as our Lord. Accept his death and sacrifice on our behalf. Accept him as our Lord. Accept him as our Savior. He will save us. Give us the guarantee of eternal life. And help us to live the newness of life. We'll receive the grace in this world to say no to God. I know you would love to make your ways right with Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. It's simple. It's straightforward. But as simple as this is, it carries power to break yokes, to break addictions. As simple as it is, it carries the power to change lives. And so, what have we said so far? We are contending with certain powers. And the powers we are contending with when we are leading the people, to confronting the people, number one, is the force or the spirit of this age. And then, we have the spell of family, ancestral, or generational curses, especially the ones that forbid people from becoming Christians. Some families is alcoholism. Some is prostitution. In the university in those days, there was a young man whose mother was sponsoring him from prostitution money. And he was wondering, should I continue to collect this money? It was a major matter on the campus then. The spell of family, ancestral, or generational curses. The third is the force of personal or evil covenants and agreement. What people took themselves into. The fourth is the force of sinful bondage, negative habits. We are battling with this. And then we have the force of wrong company and association. Bad friends. Then we have the force, the destruction of affliction as well as the challenges of life. And then we have, of course, the spell and climate of generational depression. The whole climate. What power is at our disposal? Number one is the power of prayer. Two, the power of the Holy Spirit. Three, the power of love. Four, the power of joy. Five, the power of upright living and character. Six, the power of testimonies. And seven, the power of the gospel. I believe that the Lord has blessed us. Stand up on your feet and let us give him the praise. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's praise him. Let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let us adore him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Worship him. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, As we honor you, you are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy.
You are wonderful, Lord.
You are wonderful.
You are worthy, oh.
You are wonderful.
You are wonderful, Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jehovah. Worthy to be glorified. What is true? Glorify. You are worthy, God. Oh, what is true? Glorify. Sing it one more time. You are worthy to be glorified. What is God? You are worthy to be glorified. One more time, you are worthy to glorify. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. Sing it one more time, you are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. Would you lift up your hands everywhere you are and appreciate the Lord for His word tonight? Say after me, say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. Thank you for your word to me tonight.
Tonight,
I thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for your love,
for your love,
for unveiling this mystery to me, to make me effective in your service. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go on ahead, lift your voice and speak. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for helping me to be effective in your service by your word tonight. Let us get to be not a galana, the 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 let us set up to Sokola Gadigalaha Gadigalaha. Let us set up to Sokola Gadigalaha. Let Pere and Isa, Rota Sakala Gadigalaha. Let us set Diva, Rota Sakala. Masha Karatis, Tubra Galena, Yara Tasedo, Fina Galeadesa, Fina Gayatazeda, Rina Maglarosa, Yara Tosini Tilagadela. In the name of Jesus. We're going to pray these prayers very, very quickly within the next highest 7 minutes. One minute. Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
I ask for the baptism, of the spirit of prayer.
The spirit of prayer.
Like never before.
Like never before.
One minute. Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
I ask. For the baptism.
For the baptism.
Of the spirit of prayer.
Of the spirit of prayer.
Flow through me today.
Flow through me.
the grace to pray without ceasing, the grace to pray for the salvation of the Lord. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the fresh baptism of the spirit of prayer, the grace to pray without ceasing. Let us In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the fresh baptism, the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit to flow with the power of the Spirit to rescue the lost from sin. I flow with the fresh baptism and fire of the Holy Spirit now. Go ahead and speak to God. The fresh baptism and the fresh fire of the Spirit. Let us have a sin and another. Lord, Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Say after me, say, Father, I ask that your love will flow freely from my heart to touch my generation. Help me to flow with the power of love like never before. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. The power of love, the power of love, the power of love. To love like you do, to love like you do, to love like you do, the power of love. Zakidi, Sona Talaladi, Yarotosa Tafaka, Sidi Lagahatan, Bata Sana Fana Tana Tolodabadi, Yakapata Sanona Faratina Sakaladina Tavaladano, Rata Satafaka Sikora Tatakalada, Yatofata Satafaka Sukola Tifidi, Yakapara Tasaka Tosana Galatis and Galahaso, Bana Satifa Nosa Tilaka. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray against the spirit of depression and make demands of the power of joy. Lift your voice and say, Father, I reject depression, the climate of depression, the climate of this age. I receive the spirit of joy, the oil of joy, the oil of gladness. I receive now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. The oil of gladness, the oil of gladness. Now just say the Father Saladore. Now just say the Father Saladore. For a just such a fact of so called a media. Where to such a fact of so called a Saladari. For a just say the Father Saladari. Kill the Saladari. Tell to so called a media. Tom Peruna, sent to Tina Saladaruza. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and voice and say, Father, I ask for the grace
for upright living.
In the name of Jesus, deliver me from wrong character. Let every habit, evil habit, and negative lifestyle be broken off my life. Help me to live for you. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the hold of sin be broken, the force and spell of negative habit be broken, negative life be broken, negative habit be broken, negative life be broken. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and voice and say, Father, give me the grace to employ the power of testimony as frequently as I can. The power of testimony to change lives, to touch lives, to change destiny. I receive that grace now. Go ahead and pray. The power of testimony. 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 In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Finally, I ask to experience the full power of the gospel for the transformation of lives. Lift your voice and say, Father, I ask for the grace to experience the full power of the gospel in changing the lives of men and women around the world. I receive the grace to minister with the full power of the gospel. Now, go ahead and pray the full power of the gospel. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. With all the things I said tonight, anywhere you are today, you heard the gospel spoken in summary. You also heard my testimony. And you heard all the things I said. If you are here in need of surrender to Jesus, you need your sins forgiven. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life.
quickly pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and rush to the frontier. Be the first person to come. You want an addiction broken. A negative life. Don't sit down yet. You want an addiction broken. A negative life. I see some people on this other side. If you need to come, you can also come all the way to the front here. You need an addiction broken. A negative lifestyle broken. You need help from above to live for God and to do His will. Be the first to come. Don't be the last to come. I'll give you the count of 10 and you rush to the front here. 1. While the singing is on. 2. 2. 3. Run to the front here. While they are doing that, the communion service can be on. Communion service can be on. 3. Quickly come forward. 4. You quickly come any, from anywhere you are, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and step right here. You need an addiction broken, tired of smoking, struggling with masturbation, struggling with lesbian life or gay life, struggling with lying and cheating and duping, struggling with gambling, betting, and I want to be free. Quickly join us. I'll give you another count of 10. Or you want to rededicate your life to Christ. What I did in that 86 was a rededication. I had come to the Lord in the late 70s. Slithered, but returned in 86. You want to rededicate your life to God today. You can also come forward. I've got my mind made up. And I won't turn back. Because I want
to be my Jesus someday.
I've got my mind made up. Because I want
to see my Jesus someday.
I've got my mind,
I've got my mind,
stay no longer with you. Goodbye, precious God. Stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way. The rest of my life. Goodbye, 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 world. Goodbye, world.
Stay no longer
with you. Goodbye, precious God. Stay no longer with you. Made up my mind to go God's way. The rest of my life. Made up my mind to go God's way. The rest of my life.
Give the Lord a praise. Please be seated. Those of us in the front, place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Deliver me from the power of sin. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken.
fresh grace to live for God be released upon you. Go forth and live for God. Fulfill His purpose for your life in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen.